We at In the Money Media are thrilled to be partnered with Sam Houston Race Park for 2024 to promote their upcoming Texas Champions Day in March and their next big contest in April. Don't miss the Houston Betting Championship on Saturday, April 6th. The contest is a $2,000 live money bankroll event with daily feeders and weekly qualifiers available at horseturneys.com. In addition to your bankroll, one BCBC and two NHC seats will be on the line, added to the prize pool, as well as 2024 NHC Tour points. Contest races will consist of all the Houston races, plus simulcast races run during the Sam Houston card from Aqueduct, Keeneland, Oaklawn, and Santa Anita. That means they're going to include the Wood Memorial, the Bluegrass, and the Santa Anita Derby. Be sure to get your seat now, as entries are limited to 100 in total. For more information, make sure to check out inthemoneypodcast.com/SHRP. That's inthemoneypodcast.com/SHRP. Hello and welcome to the In the Money Players Podcast. This is our show for Friday, March 8th. I'm your host, Peter Thomas Fornital, back with you in the Brooklyn Bunker once again. This is one of those weeks where we've got a lot of different shows cooking for you. This is our standard late week show. Very much looking forward to a conversation with Michael Karras of Sport of Kings Racing Partners. We're going to touch on some of the races in New York. Going to tell you a little bit later on about how you can use our partner's cut to bet the Oscars. That's going to be at the end of the show. If you're looking for information about Tampa Bay, we've got tips and analysis on the stakes portion of that card on another show. We've also got special coverage of the All Stakes Coast to Coast from our friends at First/ExpressBet. You can find that on another show as well. Best way to get all of the In the Money content on your phone is to subscribe to what we call the Black Feed. In the Money Players Podcast will get you everything that we do, not just our shows, but Owner's Box and Acacia's In the Ring, Spencer's Red Board Rewind, etc., Nick Luck Daily, you get as part of that feed as well. Another great thing you can do to make sure you never miss a show is to sign up for our free newsletter, inthemoneypodcast.com/email. But very happy to be here with you today talking about all this good racing. I'm getting ready for my trip across the pond. Going to be gone for basically the next 3 weeks, but I'll be working. I'll be able to answer any questions you might have about our content or anything else that comes up. You can always get me on Twitter at LoomsBoldly, Twitter, never X. Or you can reach out to me via the contact page at inthemoneypodcast.com. That goes straight to my email. So yeah, feel free to reach out if anything comes up there. Another thing you can do, one more quick little plug I'll put in, is for our YouTube channel. Just because we have so much YouTube exclusive content these days, we're trying to encourage everybody to subscribe to that YouTube channel. And then you can also click that little bell and get notifications, because we've been doing probably on average 2 videos a week. And that's only going to go up as we get closer to the Kentucky Derby. So do us a favor over there, In the Money Media, over on YouTube.com. We've also got these fun comment contests we've been doing. Been very proud lately to feature in our comment contest some of our regulars that we know from over here. Guys like Tom Espinoza and Rob Capalbo, and hopefully you in a future video. So make sure to get over to our YouTube channel and check that out. Okay, we've gotten that little bit of housekeeping out of the way. Let's get on with the show. As promised, now we have with us a special guest from Sport of Kings Racing Partners. He is, actually, I got to get what his exact title is. I think of him sort of as the grand poobah, the managing partner, Michael Karras. Michael, what is your exact title with Sport of Kings Racing?
Pretty much the head of operations and purchases. I work very closely with our with Mohammed Burback, doing all of our purchases, either claiming or going to the sales. So I'm involved in all different parts of SOK Racing.
I wanted to talk to you a little bit about your background. We've talked about this on one of your previous appearances, but you know, I know not everybody hears every show, and I think it's interesting for people to, you know, sort of hear your bona fides as a horse player and guy who's been around the game for a while. How did you first get involved in racing?
I got involved through my grandfather. He used to bring me to the harness track all the time back in the day when I was, I'm 57 now, back when I was about 10, 12 years old, we used to go to Roosevelt Raceway on Long Island.
Yeah, my we parents used to go there.
Oh, really? Yeah, so now it's a mall, from what I'm told. And so we kind of went from through the day. They used to switch off between Yonkers Raceway and Roosevelt. So I frequented that a lot with my grandfather. And then we transitioned over to the thoroughbred racing. And I really took a liking to thoroughbred racing more than the harness racing. And so he bought a couple of horses, and I kind of just sat on his coattail and learned and watched and got some experience from all the different facets of thoroughbred racing. And then I worked my way up, and I got involved in a couple of partnerships in my mid-20s, 30 years old, and had a lot of fun with that, had a little bit of success, and then just decided that I would open up my own stable called Hammer Time Stable. We raced mostly at Monmouth and at Gulfstream back around 2000 to 2008. And then I transitioned over to reopening my Hammer Time Stable. And I just took a real love of people. And that's what it really is about for me, is I love the people. I love the excitement. I love bringing people together. And I decided that it was about time to start SOK Racing. And if you want to find us, it's at sokracing.com. And, you know, I've got a great group of people at SOK. We've got some fantastic partners. And it kind of just works for what I want to do. And it really makes me happy just seeing everybody enjoying a day at the track and having some good food and good laughs and, you know, winning some races. That always helps too.
No doubt. And we're going to talk about one of the horses that's got you guys pretty much success right out of the box. You talked about your team. We've had the pleasure of having several of them on these airwaves already. What strikes me about SOK Racing is it feels like it's a public partnership that, if I'm not mistaken, a big part of it is by bringing in other people, like-minded people, it's giving you an opportunity basically just to not only share the experience with these partners, but also give you the ability to then participate in owning more horses and being involved in more sides of the business in a practical way than you could be necessarily on your own. In other words, it's not just like a business venture as much as is an excuse to get more involved in the game. Am I reading that correctly?
Absolutely. That's a big key factor for myself and the team. We with bringing in more partners and having the success that we've had, it's given us that ability to go out and buy more quality horses, claim better horses. So it's been a huge stepping stone for us bringing in more people, and it's just and having more horses just adds to the whole excitement of the operation.
Another thing I wanted to talk to you about, you know, Muhammad and I sort of scratched the surface on this, but I know there's more to say about your team, specifically the trainers that you've been working with and the way that they've lent their talents to the whole SOK Racing experience.
Yes, tremendous group of trainers here. We've presently working with Rick Dutrow, Matt Nilkai, Kent Demasi, Dale Romans, Linda Rice, Scott Lake, and Dallas Stewart. Tremendous people, character, just really, really quality people, the kind of people that you want training your horses and giving you good information about where they're at and putting them in the proper spots so they can be really competitive. And that's really where we want to be. We want to win, of course, but we want to be competitive. And for us, we most of our races were the favorite, if not close to it. And you know, we want to be in the game. So, you know, all of our trainers are fantastic about putting the horses in the right spot. Muhammad, our manager, our racing manager, he talks to them daily. We're constantly giving the partners updates on workouts, what the horse looks like, giving them notice about upcoming races. So it's a really, really good team, and they're spread, you know, throughout the United States. We have one with Rick out in California. Matt and Ilkay have a handful or so, eight or so, in New York. Dale's got three down in Florida. Linda's got two or three. Scott Lake's got a couple, and Dallas has our big horse. Devil's Got a Cause. So we're really happy working with all these trainers.
We had a chance to talk about the Devil's Got a Cause on one of your previous appearances. What's the latest on that one?
Well, you know, unfortunately, the two races that he ran down in Oaklawn were on a very muddy track, an off track, and he really didn't take to it at all. So our next move is coming up this month on the 24th. We're going to run him on the turf, and what I'm being told is we're going to try and stretch him out a little bit. He's a very beautiful big horse, so he might need a little bit more distance, and we're hoping that the turf and the weather cooperate down there. As you know, it's been messy throughout, you know, the states, especially on the East Coast, trying to get a clean track. That's been the challenge. So we're hoping for the best, fingers crossed, that, you know, the racing gods cooperate with the weather at least.
Fairgrounds will be the next port of call for that one.
Yes, sir. Yeah, he'll be running at the fairgrounds. And then we'll probably take him, Dallas will take him up to Keeneland and then on to Churchill from there. So we're hoping to get a good run in.
Love it. Speaking of your stable stars, you've got one returning to the races on Saturday. On another show, Nick Tamro and I went over the coast-to-coast wager that Coppola is going to be part of. That's in race number 9, the Silks Run Stakes at Gulfstream. Both of us gave the horse a very big chance. That was a terrific run last time, a really nice move into the fast part of the race the other day. Showed he can handle the sharp 5 furlongs. That's the assignment once again today, but you got some serious competition. Very pretty loaded looking field, honestly. There's just 8 runners, but you've got a lot of good form in there. How do you think Coppola looks heading into this toughest test yet?
Well, every time we ask him to do something, he does it. He's a very talented, fast horse. Del Romans has him right. He seems to have him right all the time. Like you said, this is a very competitive race. It's probably other than the Woodford, his toughest challenge. I mean, the one that sticks out is, you know, Big Invasion. You know, a lot of speed on this horse. Big closer, big long stride. You know, interesting is that last year, Big Invasion kicked off, you know, his campaign, his 2023 campaign on March 18th. And, you know, he won that race by 3/4 of a length. So he's going to be very, very difficult to deal with in this race. However, there are some other closers that could maybe get in his way. And that will be interesting to see. Panther Island is a big closer. We ran against Panther Island in the last race, and we were fortunate enough to get the win there. But like you said, there's closers, there's speed in this race. My racehorse has a horse in there with Kelly Breen that's going to be really tough to deal with. So they're going to be coming at him. What I'd like to see is have Coppola as close to the lead, if not on the lead, as possible. I think the 5 furlong distance is perfect for him. And, you know, we expect them to show up, and it's going to be a fantastic race. You're right. This is a loaded race. This is almost a graded race. This is something else. So I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot of great runners in here and great trainers, and, you know, we'll see what happens.
I like the Coppola's prospects this year. I think Dale Romans is a really good trainer. I think especially with an older horse, with a horse who's had time to develop. He's not somebody who's necessarily going to get everything out of a horse before they're fully mature. And it seems to me like what we might have seen from Coppola last time is a new level of ability. And I definitely like his chances. And I like what you're saying tactically about trying to keep as close as possible, you know, maybe get a jump on some of those bigger closers. And you know, I do respect Yes, I Am Free, the horse that almost beat Coppola in this race. Almost beat Big Invasion in this race last year. But, there's going to be plenty of company on the front end, and Coppola goes with every chance. Very curious to see what he does.
Yeah, I could see a photo finish for sure. It's going to be, when they hit the top of that stretch, it's going to be all out for sure.
When you have a horse like Coppola, how far out do you plan what the next assignments are going to be? Or is it the kind of thing where you let Dale and you let the horse sort of indicate that to you? Or do you have a race at Keeneland already potentially selected?
Yeah, we're looking to run that Grade 2, the Shackleford, with Coppola. I talked to Dale the other day. Coppola is very sound. He doesn't have any issues. And we're going to point towards that Grade 2. I believe it's on Saturday, the 6th of April. They're opening up there on Thursday, the 4th. So we're looking to be there. We'll be there on the 6th if anybody wants to stop by and say hi to us. And, you know, don't forget, you can always get us at sokracing.com. We're looking forward to partnering up with some new partners and enjoying the summer and heading towards Saratoga.
Love that. And I'll be there that weekend too. So yeah, it'd be a fun chance to hopefully get to meet up with some listeners and introduce them to you and the team. Maria, who's been on these airwaves, who I've known for a very long time from just hanging out at Saratoga, just a real racing fan. I've been thrilled to see her get more involved in the industry, and will do a great job, I'm sure, on the sales side, explaining the options to people. And she has said the best way to reach out to her, that same URL you just mentioned, Michael, that sokracing.com. We had talked about maybe going over some of the races in New York this Saturday as well. While we have you, wanted to let you show your chops as a horse player as well. A lot of people who learn the game from harness, I think they tend to be kind of trip-oriented handicappers. Does that describe you and your approach to the game? What mostly are you looking for when you look through the daily racing form, past performances, trying to find winners?
The one thing I always look for at the beginning before, you know, I get into the race is I want to know what the weather is, and I want to know what the track conditions are. If you look at previous forms, past performances, you can really dissect the race just on the weather alone. Like, some of the horses just don't like the slop. Some of them love it. And I think if you start with that, it will allow you to put some X's to some horses that you might not think love the off track, and vice versa as well. So I'm watching the weather for Saturday at Aqueduct, and from what I see, it looks like it's going to rain like it does every Saturday at Aqueduct. And, you know, we expect there'll be some scratches, and, you know, it will just be like it is usually, a muddy track, an off track. And, you know, you can use that to your benefit in handicapping a race. So that's where I start. And that's a basic tool for handicapping, is what's the condition of the track and who likes it and who doesn't like it. For example, if we're talking about race 5 at Aqueduct on Saturday, you know, we run through here and we see that there are a couple of horses that, you know, enjoy running on the mud. For example, you have a horse named Night Effect. He seems to like the off track. He's done well on it before. He raced with the same condition. He got fourth. He showed a lot of speed back on January 27th. Another one that seems to like the off track is number five horse, Can't Beat the Rock. He seems to really like the track. He's got a win in a second since December on the off track at Aqueduct. So in looking at the race, that, you know, that's where I would start. Also, the next thing I would move on to is the distance of the race and the condition of the race. Is the horse moving up? Is it moving down? Is it staying in the same condition? Because when it comes down to it, people are adjusting what kind of race they want to be in based on what they think the horse can be really competitive in. So those are like the handful of things that stick out to me, you know, that are pretty easy, quick tools to use as far as taking a quick glance at the race. And if you look at race five is a 7-furlong race. They don't ride a lot of 7-furlong races. So it's a tricky distance. Some of them seem to love it. Some of them, you know, don't as much, because you need a little bit more of a blow, a little bit more conditioning to get that extra furlong in rather than 6, and then you go to 7. So it's a tricky 7 furlongs is probably one of the hardest, in my opinion, to handicap.
I hear you. It definitely can be a specialist distance for that way that you need the combination of speed and stamina in order to succeed. You made a couple of good cases on horses with the mud form that are 10-1 on the morning line and could be prices in the form of the 2 and the 5. But as I was hearing you talk, maybe the thing that stood out to me the most was, you know, maybe the conditions are going to be an excuse to take a little bit of a shot against the horse that's going to be the big favorite in here. Horse certainly, based on the last figure and the last run, deserves to be at the top of the market, but mandatory, that huge last race, much better than anything he'd run before. That was on the dry track. The previous muddy form, not quite as good. Maybe that's a horse we can take on. I have some questions about the distance for the horse that I wanted to talk about in here. That's number 4, Blue Plate Special. But I was thinking overall that this was a horse that I feel like, if he can run a little bit more evenly through the race, I think there is going to be plenty of pace on. That's one I wouldn't mind messing around with, you know, mixing in with runners like your 2 and your 5. Maybe we can try to get a little bit of a price in here in race number 5 at Aqueduct on Saturday. Were there any others you wanted to name, check, or talk through?
I wanted to point out that Blue Plate Special, you know, has a ridiculous 6.05 ROI for the trainer. I mean, that's very impressive. Mandatory definitely is should be right there. If I had to make a choice, I would take Mandatory in this race.
You're not, even with the potential concerns about the wet track form versus what happened last time, you still think overall might just be too strong for these. But, you know, maybe pairing him with a runner like the 2 and the 5, you could still eke some value out of the exacta there.
Absolutely. That's the way I would play it, for sure. Yeah. I think the five, you know, loves that off track. So, and Jacobson does a phenomenal job. He always has his horses ready. So I expect number 5, Can't Beat the Rock, to be ready to roll on that muddy track at Aqueduct.
Let's move on to one of the other races you wanted to talk about, the very next one, the potential doubles you can play from the 5th into the 6th. We've got New York Bred Allowance Types going 6.5. So sort of similar in terms of a distance that tests both speed and stamina a little bit. I thought this was a very open race, and you could tell stories about several of them. Did you have a top choice in here?
Well, we have a runner in this race, number 8, Messi the Magician. So the story with Messi the Magician is he's one that does not like the off track. So it'll be interesting to see what Matt and Ilkay decide what they're going to do with him, because he's had 2 races over his last race over a muddy track. He just didn't take to it on January 27th. So he's coming back off of, you know, a race that was a very short time ago. So we'll wait and see how that goes and what Matt and Ilkay decide to do. You know, the favorite in this race is going to be Fortune's Nephew. Adding blinkers, number 5, Lock A, you know, cuts back to 7 furlongs, seems to be training well. But my pick is going to be number 6. I really like the 6 horse in this race. Loves the muddy track. You know, solid New York bred, and I expect him to run really well, Waldo, in this race, in number 6, in the 6th race at Aqueduct.
we're reading from the same hymn book on this one. I think Warlow, especially if Messi the magician were to not compete, that would take some key speed out of it. Maybe in that case, Warlow can just stalk a horse like Fortune's Nephew and go on with it. But I mean, his best races are really, really fast. And obviously, the last day wasn't his day, but it wasn't the easiest trip. He was favored in there. Back in 14 days suggests to me the horse has been, you know, doing well. 6 for 13. This is a winning kind who could be a lot to handle. So we'll be on the same page for sure in race number 6. Any other thoughts on this one, or shall we proceed?
I expect Fortune's Nephew, you know, coming off that workout on March 24th, a bullet workout, 1 of 132, stuck out to me as really impressive. And if you look back on the race on February 11th, it looks like, you know, possibly got tired there. Looks like he might have gotten a little tired. So the pullback in distance, you know, going from that 7 furlong race to 6.5 furlongs, that might be enough to get him in the money.
Yeah, it looks like it could be maybe a 2-speed number here, 6-4, 4-6, that kind of thing. But I'm definitely with you with a little small preference for Warlow over Fortune's Nephew in the 6 race. We do have a stakes race at Aqueduct on Saturday. We should chat about that too. The correction for fillies and mares going the 6 furlongs with $100,000 in the pot. And I think a lot of people are going to look at this and be immediately drawn to Can't Hurry Love and Hot Fudge renewing their rivalry in this spot. Do you think the winner is going to come from one of that duo, or do you want to try to pull in something at a little bit more of a price, Michael?
Well, I totally agree with you. I think that Hot Fudge has the advantage in this one. I could kind of make a case for the number 2 Starship. I could kind of see him being a little bit of a problem. He's got some nice speed. Kind of gets out there in front, and you know, possibly the number 4 horse, Can't Hurry Love, they might get in a little bit of a speed duel, and you know, that would only set it up for Hot Fudge, you know, who'll just sit right behind that speed and get the win. But I can make a case for the number 2 horse, Jacobson, if you want to come off the, you know, Hot Fudge is, you know, possibly could be 1-to-1 in this kind of a field. But you know, again, those track conditions could change it all. So, you know, that's the thing you have to pay attention to.
Hot Fudge has acted on the muddy track before, but she hasn't competed in proper slop if it ends up being that. So a little bit of a question mark, but I'm with you. I feel like there's enough speed to set it up beautifully. And, you know, I mean, hey, at some point it becomes hard to keep these win streaks going. Hot Fudge going for the 5-peat on Saturday. But I just love these honest, trying, winning kinds like this, especially when they're likely to get a setup. But I'll make sure to note in the what we send around to our In the Money Plus people that you're also going to be interested in maybe trying to get Starship Defiant up there into the number as well. It sounds like you see it about 5-2-4. Do I have that about right?
Yes, sir. Yes, 5-2-4.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, it's good to get a chance to hear you talking about some of these races. Give us a little bit more perspective on some of the stuff you guys have going on at Sport of Kings Racing Partners. What else are you looking forward to coming up?
We're looking forward to the next sale at Ocala in April. We're going to definitely be involved in purchasing some 2-year-olds. Muhammad is he's actually in Ocala now. We have one we're going to be selling, Malibu Moon, in April. In that April OBS sale, we're pretty excited about. So hopefully he comes along. We still have some percentages to give out if people are interested. Again, go to sokracing.com and Maria will get back to you right away. And, you know, hopefully we can get some new partners and get some 2-year-olds and, you know, take advantage of that sale. It's a great sale. There's been some phenomenal horses that have come out of there over the years. And, you know, we're real excited about that. We continue to claim horses. Unfortunately, we've lost a couple in the last 2 weeks, which is part of the claiming game. but we're gonna be making a couple claims at Turfway Park and one at Gulfstream here in the next couple of days. So check the website for those new additions. And we're sitting on a couple of horses at Aqueduct that are going to be coming up towards the middle to the end of the month. Two Redheads is going to be coming back off of a win. The Kamassis have really taken their time with her, and she's an explosive horse. She's doing really, really well, so we expect her to run really well around the middle of the month. And so that's like our upcoming stuff. We have a bunch of horses available for claiming if anybody's interested to get in the action. We have those offerings, and we're just really looking forward to this 2-year-old sale in April.
Ton different ways to get involved with different types of stock and a opportunity to really diversify yourself when you get involved with Sport of Kings Racing Partners. We've said it before. We'll say it again, that URL, and I'll pop it in the show notes as well. SOKRacing.com to learn more. Michael, been a pleasure to have you on. Looking forward to maybe getting a chance to talk with Dale Roman soon. It's been a minute since he's been on these airwaves, and I'd love to get a chance to catch up with him if that's something we can maybe set up for sooner rather than later.
Oh, yeah, I've talked to Dale about it. He's excited to come on the show, so let's set something up. And I just want to say thank you so much for having me and having the opportunity to discuss horses with you. It's been a pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you real soon.
Absolutely. Keeneland, it sounds like. I'm basically traveling until then. I'm going to be there opening weekend. We'll get a chance to hang out, hopefully meet up with some interested listeners who want to learn more about Sport of Kings Racing Partners. Michael Karras, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Pete. Have a great weekend.
Before we get out of here today, I want to talk to folks again about my favorite new betting app, Kutt, K-U-T-T. Get it from the App Store. This is a new way to bet that has a lot of advantages to players. For one thing, you're dealing with 3% commissions on the various betting markets. That's better than you're going to find anywhere else. For another, we've got a bonus code that will get you a sign-up deposit bonus up to $100. You can get 10%. So if you deposit $1,000, you'll get $1,100. ITM24, that's the code you want to use when you sign up for Kutt to get that. But the other cool thing, and this gets to the sort of content part of this little message, is it allows you to bet on things like the Oscars. So there are a couple of different props up there now. I've got one that I'm willing to take the other side of. I'm betting the under on Oppenheimer to win 8.5 Oscars. I do not think Oppenheimer is going to get to 9. Just looking at the history of this stuff, going through the awards, I think there are some other categories that aren't going to go so well. I don't think it's going to be the full-on sweep. Look, I could be wrong. Sometimes things build momentum and they do the full sweep, but I'm on the under. If you want to bet the over, go on Kutt. You're going to find this, under the special betting for the Oscars. You'll see me on there, looms boldly. Feel free to take some or all of the bet. They allow partial matching. So I've put up, a certain amount of money. You don't have to take the whole thing. You can take any part you want, get a little bit of action. Again, with that deposit bonus, it's like a free bet. There's going to be other Oscars props coming online there as well. I may bet against Barbie in some of the design type categories, production design in particular. I don't think Barbie has to win. Might be a little bit of a bad favorite for me. I might try to take that on. But if you think, this is where they're going to reward Barbie, feel free to take me on there. The other fun thing is you can challenge your friends, and this pertains not just to the unusual bets like Oscars, but NHL action, NBA action, NCAA action with baseball coming up. I'm hoping to get involved with some baseball over under totals on there as well. Anyway, we want you to get involved. Great way to support us is to support our advertisers, of course. And the Kutt app is what you want to be downloading. And then you're going to want to use our promo code ITM24 to be able to get that 10% deposit bonus and bet on all the sports you want to bet on and also things like the Oscars. Check it out today from the App Store, K-U-T-T. Put your money where your mouth is. That's going to do it for this edition of the show. I want to thank all of this week's guests, not just Michael Karras, who you heard on here, talking about Sport of Kings Racing partners, but also Duke and Rich, who did the Tampa show with me, and Nick, who came on to talk about the cross country, not the cross country, the coast to coast pick five from Gulfstream and Santa Anita. Really appreciate all of their contributions. We appreciate our founding partners over at 10 Strike Racing. Around here, we love to root for the purple and black, getting excited, hopefully, to be able to give you another update on Looms Boldly, the equine, soon. Haven't heard anything in a couple weeks, but I did hear he was back in training and excited to see what he does on the racetrack. The next time, Kim Weir, we always like to thank her. She was the first partner we ever had in her old role. Her new role is at the Therapeutic Horses of Saratoga. They're doing all kinds of great work, helping horses, retired racehorses mostly, and helping humans. Going to learn a lot more about them as we get closer to the summertime, and you can learn more about them and their cool mission at inthemoneypodcast.com/horses. Most of all, though, want to thank all of you, the listeners, for making these shows so much fun to do. This show's been a production of In the Money Media. I'm Peter Thomas Fornital. May you win all your photos!